This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Number one pick in the NHL draft, but the men that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make them need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you yawn and grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Well, I was all excited for the show today. It's a Tuesday morning. We got CMT. We got the full breakfast being provided. For some reason, Raymond is eating a bagel. I'm not sure why. Probably just to keep himself
Because he slept here.
Probably just to keep himself alive.
Because he slept here.
Right.
He goes to me. He goes, I still haven't figured out how to sleep on this couch. It's the worst. It is the
but
worst
But it's his own fault, though, because we've offered him numerous times, can we get you some kind of an inflatable? And he's like, no, I don't need it.
Dude, I would go, honestly, I would go sleeping bag on the floor. Instead of that couch. That couch is a problem. That thing stinks.
Stinks as
no,
it smells?
No, it doesn't smell. It's too narrow.
Right.
Which is why I think you laid on your side all sexy-like, but that is not a good sleeping couch.
It's got great lumbar support, though, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, right. You got two options. You got a very skinny couch, or you have seats. You have seats from the stadium.
Well, I can't imagine the Yankee Stadium seats would be all that comfortable to sleep in.
Imagine if you walked in here and Raymond was passed out on those seats.
How would you sleep in those seats?
I don't know, but that would be, I mean, the man hasn't slept.
Listen, he's a warrior. I had one of the biggest moments of panic, like without being a life-changing moment, moment of panic. Take down the West Side Highway, past the GW, I'm like, where'd my phone go? Can't find my phone. Phone gone. So now, I mean, think about this. I look to find a spot on the street. I'm like, you know, I really can't find a spot on the street because I won't remember the code to put into the meter at 9 o'clock because I don't have my phone to put it in and save it. Then I park in the lot. I'm walking here. I'm like, do I have to speed up? Do I have to slow down? I don't know what time it is. So I'm totally lost without my phone. And then I have the idea of what happens if the thing is gone.
Yeah, but why would it be gone though?
Why would I not have it on me? I never don't have it on me.
It woke you up, right?
It woke me up.
Okay, so you went
out of a slumber.
Right,
I was
your bed
to sleep.
From your bed to the car. And you realized you didn't have it in the car, so where would it go?
That was my thought.
Right.
But it's so easy for you to
say. No, it's not easy. This affects the show. This has a direct impact on the show.
Emails can't get to them
Gone.
Today.
Because God forbid you know how to get into the computer with the emails.
Don't know how to do that.
No chance.
So then I have the moment of I walk in, RJ, can I use your phone? Call home, Sherry answers the phone.
You didn't even say hello.
Because
you didn't even say hi.
She didn't know who it was. Because it was RJ's number.
Well, you could have said,
RJ's
hey,
number.
It's me. Sorry
what did
to
I
wake,
say?
Sorry to wake you up. Where's my phone?
There's no way I said, where's my...
RJ, what did he say? Do you see my phone?
Okay, I might have said, do you see my phone? Is my phone anywhere? I didn't say, where's my phone?
Well, if she didn't know who it was, shouldn't you say, hey,
you know what? We've
me.
Been married for 20 years in May. I'm pretty sure when I said, hey, where's my phone? She wasn't like, George Clooney? No, she knew
on
it was
RJ's
me.
On RJ's phone.
Would you have been concerned? She's like, hey, RJ.
if she answered the phone,
RJ.
She's like, why are you calling now?
you know you're not supposed to call in the morning.
Isn't he there?
That would have set this whole day off the wrong way.
It's already off the wrong way. Could you imagine that, though? Is Raymond there?
And we got a big meeting today.
I don't know.
You don't take a backpack. You don't bring a computer. You don't bring a pen, notebook, nothing.
Pen?
Yeah.
I don't need a backpack.
All you need to do
I
is
have everything
bring
in
your
my,
phone.
Everything is in my phone.
And no phone.
No phone. Now I wonder that I'm going to get important texts this morning. I won't be able to get to them.
Right.
Emails, can't get to them.
What'd you say to Sherry? She goes, did she like ask if you're right? Well, unless you deliver it to me.
Well, no, she goes, well, what do you want me to do with it? Do you want me just to keep it here? I'm like, well, unless you can transport it over to me now. Yeah, just plug it in. When I get home, I'll capture that baby.
Maybe if she had some mushrooms, she could teleport it. Like you to the bathroom.
Good idea. Well, I guess good news is it doesn't seem like she's having an affair with RJ.
Solid.
Great. RJ, news. You can confirm that, right? I wouldn't think that you would do something like that to me.
No, never. Never. I mean, I'm not nearly as handsome as you anyway, so.
No, I think you're more handsome than me. Would you, how about if she, here's a question for you. At the next get-together, like, you know, function that we all wives, everything. I don't know what it'll be, but everybody's there. If Sherry hit on you, would you tell me, or would you just tell the guys, or would you tell Ange, or would you tell nobody?
I'd probably just save it for air and just let you know right here.
See, that's good content right there.
Okay, Dave. Boy, you thought you had a good time. You'll never know what happened.
Yeah, Sherry was rubbing her hand on my inner thigh, like that kind of thing. You would save that for air?
I think I'd have to.
No. But in actuality, do you tell me that, or do you just bury it, hoping it was a one-off, or do you? How do you handle that?
No, I get when not that anything like that's ever happened, and it never will. But in this world where we're living in right now, when I know something that affects people close to me, it gives me severe anxiety when I'm the only one that knows. So I would have to bring in everybody, be like a team huddle.
So you would bring in the guys?
I'd be like, here's what happened.
Ray, listen, here's
Wednesday meeting. Could be a topic at the Wednesday meeting.
It really could.
John, before everyone goes,
I want to let you know that Sherry was aggressively hitting on me at the...
Have you seen the movie Multiplicity?
With Michael Keaton?
Yeah.
Yes.
When the clone to the clone is like, she touched my peppy, Steve. That would be RJ on Wednesday.
All right. So the good news is RJ's not having an affair with Sherry, or so it seems.
Yep, okay.
That's good news. Phone not here with me today. It is safe at home.
That's bad news, but okay.
It is bad news.
But you're fine. You'll get through it.
Well, you know what the good news is, though? Real good news.
Knicks win. Yep.
I actually made the first half live, and then the rest this morning. Magnificent victory. And you know why it was so special? Because I went into that game, and then you learn late afternoon, OG's going to be out. Now, you have feelings on that. We'll get into that certainly this morning. There's no way they're going to win the game. In my estimation, going into that game, that was a complete house money game. To find a way to win that game is exceptional. How good was McBride, Hartenstein, Brunson as always? What a hard-fought game. Never trailed. Unbelievable victory for the Knicks last night.
Yeah, unbelievable. I mean, great start to this road trip, too. The OG news does concern you. I guess you're happy that he's back in New York. MRI came clean. Came back clean.
Yeah, but the fact that he had to undergo an MRI is
right.
A concern.
But again, this is one of those kind of mental hurdles you get through, right? I remember when I was in Germany during the lockout, I had that. I was coming off of the hernia surgery, and I made a move, and I was like, oh no, and I felt like I ripped through the surgery, but it was just kind of like the progression through. You know, the things that you deal with once you're post-surgery, kind of like the scar tissue and everything else, and everything was fine, and, you know, eventually it felt better. So hopefully that's the same case here with OG. But, I mean, to go into Golden State, who's not good at home, by the way. Like, that was one thing we didn't talk about yesterday. They're not a good team at home.
Right.
They're a game under 500 at home. And to get out to the early lead, 18-4 lead, I mean, Golden State was scoreless for almost the first 4 minutes of that game.
Well, it's pathetic. And the Knicks led, what, 18-4 from the jump? Yeah.
Yeah, never trailed. And on top of that, I mean, what they did to Steph in the fourth quarter, he had 5 points in the fourth quarter. You mentioned, I mean, some of the names that stepped up. Josh Hart played 48 minutes again. Ducey, 47. Most career points in a game, most made threes in the game.
He was awesome last night.
Bench stunk, but that's fine. But listen, Bogdanovich is not worked out so far.
And Burks has not worked out either.
No. But give those guys credit, man. And especially, like, Jalen does what Jalen does. I mean, he's freaking awesome. But for the other guys to step up, and I was listening to some of the post game this morning and just talking about, and I think it's a big deal with Tibbs is, you know, Deuce feels like Tibbs and the team trust him now and what that's done for him. And you can see the confidence he's playing with.
Oh, what, he scored 29 last night?
Yeah, 29. Yeah, had a big first half too. I think he had 19 in the first half.
I mean, from the time I was watching, he must have had at least four threes in the first half.
Yeah, 19, 11 in the first quarter, 19 in the first half. So to go on the road, I mean, to lose OG, first of all, who, I mean, he's in the lineup, you pretty much don't lose.
You know what the amazing thing is? If they lose a guy, it doesn't impact it. Not that it doesn't on the court, but it's just like they have the same mindset. We're going to go out there. We're going to scrap and fight and give everything we have. You saw it the night Brunson went down, which is an amazing win. OG not playing last night, come out, give that performance. Sensational from the Knicks.
Yeah, well, it just shows. I mean, it's like if you were to describe this team in one word, I think you would say resilient.
Very much so.
Right? I mean, you don't ever question their effort. They're going to work hard even in losses. You never question their effort. And, you know, it'd be very easy on a road trip like this after you win the first two, you lose OG. I mean, you're playing a pretty good Golden State team. Like, yeah, you know, maybe this isn't the night, but it doesn't affect them. And they came right out of the gate, never trailed. It's just, if you don't like this team, and Raymond actually said this in his stupor this morning, because I'm sure we'll get phone calls today. Like, I was even reading an article that, you know, part of the reason why they're shutting down OG is because they don't trust Tibbs with him. you know, protect, well,
that's not
protect
great.
OG from Tibbs.
Right.
But, I mean, he said it, though. Like, this starts up top. If you love this team, you can't not love Tibbs. Because he's the one that sets the tone for the team.
I love this team. And whose idea was it to start McBride last night? Right? And
it was Tibbs.
That was Tibbs. Puts him in the lineup, gives you an elite performance. Watch every rebound. Watch every single rebound during the course of a game. They may not get it. They are after it hard. They are deflecting it. Second chances, third chances. You're right. If you don't, and how many times now this year that might have been the win of the season. Well, that might have been the win of the season. Well, this might have been the win of the season. Well, you know what? Last night might have been the win of the season. There's probably five of those. It's amazing at how great they look and how resilient they are. It's a little concerning with the injuries as well. On the other hand, like, if OG was fine or OG played and they won, like, you'd be ecstatic. You do have in the back, at least I do, like, oh, God, now him and Randall and the legitimate injuries. Right. And I saw the Mark Berman tweet last night.
No real timetable on Julius.
These guys are not going to be healthy the entirety of the season, which is a little upsetting. But as far as what whoever's out there gives to you, you can't ask for more than that.
No, I mean, because that's the expectation now. Like, and I know people are sick of hearing it, like the whole culture thing, but this is what it looks like. Like, I've said this the entire time with this team, because it's like, oh, when are we going to get the superstar? We need the superstar. Well, Miami does a pretty damn good job without that superstar. Like, no, Jimmy Butler turns into a superstar in the postseason, but they have a style of basketball. They've embraced it, Heat culture. Like, this is what, when you play for the Heat, this is what the expectation is. And you're seeing that with this Knicks team. Doesn't matter who it is. When you're in this lineup, there's a certain expectation, and this is how you're going to play. And these guys have stepped up. I mean, Hart, another triple-double. Played every minute of the game last night. Like, this is
just a warrior.
It's what we do.
But you know, all the time things happen and it upsets me. Like, you just don't understand. You're like, you don't understand what goes through the athlete's mind and how they chase the money or how winning and losing is not that important to them. Well, you know what? This is exactly what I want for my teams. Where they want to be out there. They want to give you 48 minutes. They want to get there early. They want to rebound. They want to scrap. They want to fight. This is exactly what I'm looking for.
You know what the beauty of this whole thing is, though, too, and how attractive this would be to a superstar? When you have this many guys on a team, it's essentially...
I mean, they're all bought in.
No, but it's essentially everyone on the team. Is they do all the things that you as a superstar don't necessarily want to do every night. They all do it. And that's the beauty of Jalen Brunson. He does it.
That's what I was
superstar.
You're 100% right. All the dirty work, but the star is not afraid to do the dirty work. So
it's the best definition of like a Sidney Crosby. And there was always that question as to how come Sidney Crosby was winning Stanley Cups and Ovechkin hadn't yet until Barry Trotz kind of taught Ovechkin like what it takes. Sidney Crosby was always described as he is a superstar grinder. Like, he'll do all the things that a fourth liner do, but he's a superstar talent.
Right.
And his teammates see that, and they feed off that. If the best player on our team is going to do it, we have to do it, and that's what Jalen does, and that's why Woj last night was talking about this being the most influential free agent signing since a LeBron or a Durant. That's how people around the league look at what Jalen Brunson has done to this Knicks team.
It's phenomenal. I mean, he is phenomenal. This team is phenomenal. They're so easy to root for. They give you, I mean, all you ask, right? And I think New York is more than most places, but I think most places, all I ask, me personally, and I'm a big fan of all my teams, is go out there and give me everything you have. That's it. That's all. I mean, what more can I ask for?
I mean, if this is what pisses me off about this town, though, sometimes, is we have so many opportunities, and I probably didn't take advantage of it either, but I didn't play on the Knicks or the Yankees or the Rangers. You have so many opportunities to look around and see what the fans want, good or bad, right? Like, you saw, like, the idea that Julius Randle would do what he did after watching what Francisco Lindor and Javi Baez did,
right,
and go, let me try that, because that worked out so well for those guys. It's like, look at Matt Rempe. The guy's not a super talented guy. He gets out there in the stadium series, steps up to the plate against Matt Martin, and everyone falls in love with him.
They were chanting his name the other night.
They
still didn't play it.
He's a cult hero now.
Yeah.
Because he just shows up and does what you expect him to do, and he works hard, and that's all people want. And on top of that, with this Knicks team, you got all that stuff, and they just keep winning.
From superchargers, exhaust kits, and more, eBay Motors has over 122 million parts to keep your ride or die alive. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home that win. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. There was major concern last night. With who, you ask?
With who?
Raymond
Santiago?
I got numerous emails, numerous tweets. Is Raymond okay?
Really?
Apparently, and Raymond probably knows that this happened, a little after 8 o'clock, Raymond started tweeting gobbledygook.
Oh, I did see that.
Like, nonsense. So
it was like a Cam Newton-esque.
The thought was either Raymond is currently in the process of a stroke and reaching out for help, or he's like tweeting from his pocket.
Right.
Raymond, what happened?
Yeah, it was definitely the latter.
Yeah.
Had the phone in my pocket, not locked, and I was running back and forth between studios, getting ready, A, for the Knicks game, and B, for the alternate broadcast that I've been doing for a little bit.
So you were doing back and forth
so
running.
So you had Twitter open, unlocked in your phone, and then all hell broke loose.
I guess that's what happened, yeah.
Yeah. I saw the tweets. It was like,
I saw that.
Yeah.
There was a lot going on there. And then, you know, I once I'm settling down, waiting for Steve Kerr and Tom Thibodeau to start speaking, I look down at my phone and I see all these notifications like, uh-oh, something happened.
What would you say, more concerned about Raymond or John Winthrop with Kate Middleton?
John's fully invested.
He's obsessed with it.
Obsessed.
Obsessed.
How about yesterday he comes and he goes, I'm not sure if I wasn't listening to the whole show, so I'm not sure if you guys mentioned this or talked about it. This whole Kate Middleton thing, I'm like, why during the course of yesterday's show? Because we're a very sports-centric
very
show.
Very sports-centric. And we try to really stay within the sports realm.
But no going off the rails. We're like, right with sports.
Right.
That we would talk about that.
I don't know. And then it's like, you know, Danny Hurley is going to be on the K-Show today. You mean like oh, I mentioned that twice. Have you promoted the pregame party that you guys are going to have, you know, at Publicans?
Yeah, and right.
Yes, John also did that twice. All, you know what? He's singularly focused on Kate Middleton.
That's it.
And is she well? Is she okay? What's
That's
going
it.
On with that? It is an interesting, weird story.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
I can't believe Brunson is this good.
I don't think the Knicks can believe he's this good.
He's the ultimate leader. He not only brings the best out of himself, he brings the best out of the team.
Return pass, Brunson lines up a three. Got it.
I can't believe he's this good. Because we keep saying, you need a star, you need a star, you need a star. I'm not saying he is the finishing piece for this to try to win a championship. Make no doubt about it. He is a star.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg. On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, DNR 98.7 ESPN. So John Winthrop, I guess, got involved in the group chat. I would have no idea
because
I don't have my phone. Yep. So he said La La Land is it's a film and not a movie, right?
Yeah, he said to call La La Land a movie is disrespectful. It's a film.
It's a bad movie.
That's how much
movie.
He appreciates it.
It's a bad film is what it is. Oh, was that a bad
Well,
movie?
You guys can have that argument today.
When he strolls in here after
9 o'clock.
Well,
because you know he's going to challenge you, because that's all this is. I mean, RJ, how many months?
But why do you think that is? Why do you think that John, our boss, my beloved friend, is always after me?
I think there's blood in the water.
Why?
Because Alex is doing the same thing. I don't know.
So you think it's me? You think I'm having a moment of weakness?
I mean...
So I'm like Don Corleone, but I've turned my back.
I'm just connecting dots.
And I got you, who's my Fredo, who's bringing me to the fruit market.
No.
And I'm getting shot in the head.
How dare you?
What do you mean?
You're Fredo.
Well, you know what? If the shoe fits.
Stop it. This might be the nastiest thing
Fredo
you ever said to me.
Fredo was a great character.
Might be the nastiest thing you ever said to me.
You think John likes La La Land better than The Godfather?
No.
You don't know? I don't know.
He's a musical guy. How could you? Come on. Godfather's greatest movie of all time.
So good.
Oh.
So good. The second one, equally good. Might be better than the first.
I got to tell you, I'm not even joking.
Avignore. So why? Why you play that?
Did you watch what was it called? The Offer?
Oh, did I watch it?
No, but then did you go back and watch Godfather again after you watched The Offer?
I'm always seeing The Godfather whenever I see it on. Yeah.
I mean, what a whole different experience.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Wonderful movie.
Loved it.
Wonderful movie. Wonderful show. The Offer. I actually had someone recently, I forget who it was, tell me they liked The Offer better than the movie.
Let's not get carried away.
I agree with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, let's, I mean, that's.
But The Offer was really good.
Really, really good.
Elite.
Elite.
Elite. Did I turn you on to that? Was I the one who told you about The Offer?
Maybe. No, I don't think so.
No?
No.
It was so good.
It was great.
1-800-919.
You turned me on to the beef.
You know, it's not making fun
the
of
beef.
Me. By the way, beef, I don't think it's the beef.
Whatever it is.
Beef, whatever, the Emmys or whatever, cleaned up.
Steak Fritz.
Steak Fritz. So Don was out in
Where's
Tampa, right?
Yep.
And sat there at a restaurant and ordered the steak fritz.
The fritz.
I had the steak fritz.
Like the
fritz. Fritz. I don't know.
I love Michael's.
I love him.
I mean, the wait staff must be like, oh, okay. Listen, you got the completely, you know, disaster of a guy over there. He wants the fritz.
I had the steak fritz.
Freets.
Freets. Freets. I don't know.
He's such a special gem.
He's a beauty. I love him.
He's such a special gem, isn't he? The steak Fritz. It's amazing. Let's hear from, who do you want to hear from? I don't know.
You keep teasing sound.
I'm going to play right now.
Raymond's been here for 48 straight hours. You played none of his sound. None of it.
Raymond, I'm sorry. I'm going to get to the sound right now if you shut your mouth for a second. I got Tom Thibodeau. I got Jalen Brunson. I got Deuce McBride. And I got Woj.
The injury. Listen, career night for Deuce.
All right, you want to hear from Lil Deuce. What makes this team so connected? Here is Deuce McBride.
Honestly, it starts with the top. Coach Tibbs, he has great belief in all of his guys. He believes anybody in the room can step up and play well. So it starts with the top, just the belief with the coaching staff and then, Jalen and everybody else being supportive.
I mean, you could feel they play as one. They really do. There's a complete...
They're all bought in.
Bought in, yep. Belief into the system, into what they're doing.
I mean, they all like each other.
Golden State needed that win last night. It's not like you went in there and went up against a team that didn't need it, that didn't have it. They needed it. And the Knicks just out everything them from the opening tip.
Yeah, right. I mean, the bench for Golden State was good. Starters, I think they had a combined 52 points last night, their starters.
That's not good.
No, and they're not good at home.
Which is amazing.
Weird. Yeah.
It makes no sense.
It doesn't make sense.
Here's Deuce again on how he prepared to take on Steph Curry.
A lot of film, understanding the routes he takes. Obviously, he doesn't stop moving. He's obviously the greatest shooter in history. So, just trying to do my best and just continue to fight through screens, be physical, and do whatever I can to be disruptive.
How many minutes did he play last night?
47.
I mean, so he gave you 29 points. He, in essence, didn't come out of the game, and he chased around Steph Curry all night long. That's a big boy performance.
Earned his money
is.
Last night, yeah. Made 6 threes. Career high points and 3-point and threes made. It's a great night for him.
It was a great night for him. But that's the thing. If somebody's out, the next guy up steps up continuously. Happens game after game after game with
this
squad.
Starting to see, I think the other big news too is you're just seeing Hartenstein coming back to what we saw before the whole Achilles
thing.
He's
a real, you don't watch him and, like, if you saw Hartenstein play a game, you'd say to yourself, he's pretty good. I think he's one of those guys, the more you watch him play, the more you realize how good of a player he is. He's pretty agile. He's quick inside. He has a decent offensive game. It's not great, right. but he can finish around the basket.
He had 8 points in the first quarter.
And he's a rebounding machine, and he's a real presence down low. Like, you take the ball to the basket against him, he's gonna stand up for that goal, for that defense.
Yeah, and he's also, he's a better offensive option than Mitch. And I like Mitch. I mean, the way Mitch was playing before he got hurt, I mean, that's as good a defense as you're going to see. But offensively, I think Hartenstein gives you a little bit more. But they just have a collection of guys that are willing to do all the little things pretty much all the time. Like, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Like, I think Josh Hart is the best example of that. Depending on the night, whatever you need. He played 48 last night, another triple-double. If it's rebounds... Great defense. I mean, chips in with scoring. I mean, that's and all the guys like that. And most importantly, your best player is like that. Right? I mean, when Jalen Brunson sets the tone the way he does and is just an extension of the head coach, that's
it's beautiful.
It's the perfect recipe.
Jose Queens. Good morning, Jose.
Hey, quick point about the Knicks. So Tibbs gets criticized a lot for like overworking his players,
right.
And you know that. And when they go down, the criticism only doubles. But Rick has mentioned like, oh, what version of the player are you getting back? But I think the Knicks do a great job to rehab their players, because like when Brunson came back from his injury, his bounce back was automatic. When Anunoby came back, the difference was crazy. So when Randall or Mitch come back, I feel like this team can only go up from there.
Well, I think that, listen, Jalen wasn't out that long. When you have an upper body injury, you're still able to do stuff to keep your cardio up. Julius, same thing. So, I mean, that's easier. I don't know. It'd probably take Mitch a little bit longer because it's his lower half to get himself back
in
the game shape.
Right, so keep himself in shape.
Yeah.
But I mean, Anunoby, he came back. You felt good about it. And I remember watching...
It was the Portland game.
Yeah. Was that the game where he, like, stretched his arm and didn't feel right? And I remember watching and thinking to myself, that doesn't look great. So he's played, two games?
Yeah, you saw how he reacted the second he did it, though.
Right.
Goes in for the steal, hyperextends it. Probably scar tissue or whatever it was. And now probably...
MRI comes back clean.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure... Dude, it's one of the hardest parts of coming back. First, it's trusting that you're not going to re-injure yourself. But you scare the crap out of yourself, because the last thing you want to do is have to rehab another injury. So you feel something tweak or if it's, you know, scar tissue or whatever it ends up being. Like, even just getting, like, once the biggest thing with that surgery, once you get it cleaned out, is getting your range of motion back. So now all of a sudden, like, he's finally okay, I can get it extended. Now right. I go past that.
And now I have real pain.
And it scares the crap out of
me. But I guess knowing that you're not, if the doctors are telling him this, and I imagine they are, if the MRI comes back clean, it's just pain management. It's just how much can you deal with, because you're not going to make it worse. That peace of mind, I would imagine, probably makes him feel a lot more comfortable.
It should, yeah. That's why you do it, right? I mean, it's just to know that you didn't screw up the surgery, you're fine, it's just sore, and, you know, we'll rehab it, get it back, and then you go from there.
I cannot believe they won that game last night. Really?
I wouldn't say shocked.
I'm shocked.
I think the second you saw how hard they came out, though. I mean, they're up 18-4. It's like, okay.
I love it. I'm telling you, I'm being honest with you, I'm shocked. When I found out Anunoby was going to miss the game, I thought, all right, they're not going to win this game. And I wonder, and I guess I should get this out of my head, I wonder if they're going to mail it in. And the truth is, they never mail it in.
No.
It doesn't matter who they have. They never, ever mail it in. You want an update on OG?
I do.
Here's Woj, the update on OG Anunoby.
I'm told that OG Anunoby is going to be out more than just tonight, that right elbow has flared up again. They need it to calm down. How long he is out is unclear, but it's certainly a concern for this Knicks team. They do not know the status of Julius Randle moving forward, and right now they will miss OG Anunoby more than just this game against the Warriors.
All right, so we knew he came back to New York, and we knew he wasn't going to play against Denver as well. If it becomes more than that, I think you I mean, listen, it's so many different guys that you need to get back. Robinson, I think, is the least of the three. Randall, you need back, and OG, you need back. At least one of the OG and Randall has to come back.
Right. Well, I mean, listen, if you're going to go where you want to go, you need both.
Yes.
And you only got 14 games left here. Like, OG's going to be back. I mean, Randall's going to be back, too. It's just, I mean, it's how long, you know, how strong is the shoulder?
Yeah, how long are they going to be back for? Is it they come back and they get hurt again and then they miss time like OG is now?
Well, OG's going to have to battle through whatever is going on in his elbow. If the MRI came back clean,
it's going to be a thing. If he continues to play a couple games, miss a couple games, play a couple games, and you have Josh Hart playing 48 minutes and McBride playing 47 and Brunson coming back from what looked to be a season-ending injury, I'm telling you, and I'm not saying I will do this, but the Knicks fan base will become frustrated with him. I'm telling you.
I understand that, but if, I mean, every time he's on the floor, you win, I mean, what are you going to say? They're 15-2 with him on the floor.
Get on the floor.
Yeah.
I mean, figure out
some
a way
guys
to play.
Do, it's, in my experience, there are some guys, and now he has a history of missing time, right? He did the same thing in Toronto.
A big history, yes.
There are some guys that just don't feel comfortable playing at less than 100%. Or pretty damn close to 100%. Like, and there are some guys that are like, listen, my 75% is better than whatever the other option is.
Right.
And there's some guys that feel like I'm not doing the team, I'm doing the team an injustice, or I'm doing myself an injustice if I'm not playing that close to 100%.
The thing is, he probably wasn't close to 100% against Portland, and he looked fine. Like him being out there was...
Yeah, him being out there, but
he didn't look great, but like him being out there is still makes you a better basketball team.
Right. And now, listen, get the peace of mind. Came back, MRI is clean. They get the swelling out of there, and... He knows, like, this is it.
So he had the surgery. So what is this, just a time maintenance thing then?
Well, yeah, like, sometimes it flares up. Like, you get a surgery, you come back from it, and then because you're not, I told you this, I think we were talking about it last week, like, you can only push yourself so far in practice. Because subconsciously, you know what's practice, and you're kind of still protecting yourself. And plus, the situations aren't nearly as frenetic in practice. It's more of a controlled situation. When you're going all out to try to win, or you're trying to, like, he reaches into the, he's not doing that in practice.
No.
He's not exposing that
right.
Other practice.
Right, he's keeping himself, you know, like, what's the, under like, wraps in practice.
Why risk trying to make this steal in practice? Like, in a game, it's like, no, my natural instincts take over. I'm going to go get that ball.
But if he does the move and the extension, whatever it is, and it hurts him, and he's like, oh, that you know there's no damage. You know there's nothing wrong with it. So you might just have to, especially the bigger the games get, and the later season you get, and into the postseason that you get, you might have to just fight through whatever's bothering you.
Right. I mean, listen, NBA players aren't NHL players where you find out, like, you know, after...
Right. after his leg had multiple fractures.
Well, no, like, after the Stanley Cup, you find out that Matthew Tkachuk has a broken sternum.
That it's amazing to me that a team season ends. It's like, oh, by the way, Ryan McDonough was playing with a fractured leg, and then this guy was playing with a broken jaw. And this, like, it's like when they come back from war.
It's amazing, man.
The NHL players after the postseason.
Like, guys can't tie their skates. Tkachuk couldn't put his jersey on.
Remember when McDonough didn't play in that Game 7 against Tampa? And and afterwards you find out, like, hey, he was dealing with a broken foot for the last few weeks.
Just jamming in the skate.
These guys are unbelievable. So, yeah. But it's weird because maybe I'm wrong. It feels like NFL players really push to fight through when the games are of maximum importance. NHL players always do, and NBA players don't.
I think it depends. I wouldn't blanket statement that. But
I'm just saying as a general view. I'm not saying individually.
I don't think it's the... It's kind of what you brought up in hockey, is that that's what you do.
Is that a good thing, though? I mean, sometimes probably is.
Personally, probably not for you long-term, it's not. Like, you probably shouldn't have to, you know, push yourself through something that could be detrimental to, like, your long-term health or your career, but, like, you just... Even when I had, like, concussions are the worst. Because you have no, like, you know...
Well, that's very dangerous, yes.
Right, but I'm not, like... I'm telling you, like, just like how uncomfortable you feel, and it's not the, your teammate's fault, but you know they need you, and you're sitting there, and you have no real outward symptoms.
Right.
How do you feel? It's like, well, I'm a little light sensitive, and like, oh, that's...
Yeah.
And then you kind of, like...
I have my jaw wired shut. You're a little light sensitive.
Right, exactly right. Yeah. Or this guy's, you know, this guy's playing with a, you know, grade 2 MCL, and he's limping around, but he's finding a way to play, and meanwhile, you're kind of just... You don't look like there's anything wrong, but... You know, your head's messed up.
1-800-919-3776. So, I believe this is accurate. RJ!
Yes, Dave.
How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good. Okay. You haven't been calling Sherry, have you, now that you have her number locked in your phone?
No, I do see 10 digits all in a line that I know where it leads, but no, I have not.
Send her a picture.
I'll tell you what. I don't think you'll do it. Send her a naked picture yourself.
Yes.
No, of course I won't do it.
I'll do it. Give me the phone.
Okay.
He would do it.
No.
I think you might.
No. Cassie would be upset if I sent.
Would she?
Yeah.
I mean, you guys seem to have a nice open relationship.
No.
Though.
You don't have an open relationship. No. Where you send naked pictures to other women.
How about shirtless?
No.
No?
No. I don't send her shirtless pictures.
Why?
Why would I put anything out there of me naked?
Well, why not? You have a beautiful body.
You know, what happens if it gets hacked?
You look gorgeous.
They're going to put it up in the cloud.
People could just steal it?
I don't know. It could happen. You see all the stuff getting leaked? Cardi B had something there where she was doing some stuff the other day I saw.
Really?
Yeah.
You really purvey everything,
Raymond,
don't you?
You see that?
I don't think, I feel
Why
like
can Raymond's, he not keep a microphone close
I don't feel
to his
like
face.
Raymond's very dialed into the show today.
RJ, did you see the Cardi B thing?
I saw of it.
You didn't see it. You're so full of it.
You really are. You're unbelievable. I saw it existed, but I didn't actually take in what it was.
That's right.
You're lying.
You're lying.
I didn't know it existed.
She was doing this.
I'm scared of nothing. I told you, Krista Canyons and I spent quite a bit of time together when I was a youth.
Name and names.
You spent time together.
Janine Linden Mulder. Oh. I feel like she was one of my first girlfriends, Janine.
Oh, God.
Oh, my.
That much time, huh?
A lot of time.
Probably a little too much.
Too much time?
Yeah, a little bit.
Probably.
All right.
Feels like most of his time.
I mean, Jenna?
Yeah.
I mean, Jenna back in the day was...
That's Mount Rushmore stuff.
I mean, these ladies were just...
Kobe Ty.
Oh, Kobe Ty. Kobe Ty.
Those are my ladies.
Very Bad Things, which is a very bad movie.
I bet you used to watch that workout show.
Oh, with like Denise Austin?
No, not Denise Austin. The other one. Oh, what was her name?
Jane Fonda?
No, not Jane Fonda. The other one was... Raymond, you know what I'm talking about?
He's not going to talk into the mic.
I do not.
I'll find out the name.
All right.
I guarantee he's to watch it.
You do that. Anyhow, RJ!
To answer your question, I have it.
He has the new Mel Kiper mock draft.
Already?
Yeah, what do you mean already? It dropped at 7 o'clock this morning. He has it ready to go.
It actually dropped before 7 o'clock.
Well, you know what? Don't get saucy. All right, so we'll take a break. We'll come back. We've got the new Mel mock draft. We got the Knicks. We got the Jets. We got the Yankees. We got the Mets. We got it all because we are New York Sports Talk.
Kiana's Flex Appeal.
What's her name?
You used to watch it. Kiana.
Mm.
Kiana's Flex Appeal. Guaranteed you've seen it.
Maybe.
Guaranteed.
I don't lie. I'm not going to lie to you.
Once you see it, you'll know. You've seen it.
Is she like Hawaiian?
Yes.
Yes, I think I've seen Kiana. Yes.
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 Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Mel's newest mock draft. I think the Giants fans will not be overly excited by this. That would be my initial...
Let me take a peek.
...quick glance.
Who?
Is it the Giants fan will not be thrilled? I don't think he'll be upset.
No, so he still has... I mean... He has J.J. McCarthy. Well, let's not get into it, but...
Well, we can get into it.
He's got Bo Nix up at 12 now, huh?
So, I mean, listen, I love Mel. I think Mel is great. I don't see any way J.J. McCarthy falls to 11.
It doesn't feel like it unless Minnesota feels like he's going to get past... He's going to get past the
but
Giants.
If you're Minnesota and you get him at 11, aren't you thinking to yourself, why did I just trade for this first-round pick?
Well, because they were probably concerned about, for the second first-round pick?
Right. If he's going to drop to 11, that was unnecessary. It's a bad trade, though.
But he also doesn't include trades in his mocks.
Right.
Like what could happen at the draft.
Right. And I think there will be a number of trades, but I just do find it a bit curious that he has McCarthy dropping to 11. How much do we value... I mean, the quarterback is overvalued more than any position in any sport.
Right, but... okay, hold on. You're missing my point, though.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Arizona's not taking a quarterback.
Right.
Chargers are not taking a quarterback. What's interesting is he doesn't have you guys taking J.J. McCarthy. So once he gets by you, Tennessee has Levis.
Right.
The Falcons just signed Kirk Cousins.
Right. The Bears are going to have their quarterback from the top overall pick.
And the Jets don't need a quarterback.
Right. But you have to... Is there not a team that it would make sense to move up and jump?
But he doesn't do that.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
So this is how... Like, I'm sure if we get him... When we get him on the phone this week, I'm sure he'll maybe say that there's a real chance that Minnesota does jump up.
Right. That makes sense. But I find it hard to believe that he's going to drop to 11.
Right. When trades are involved. Correct.
But even so, I mean, I don't think the Giants let McCarthy go past them at 6.
I don't disagree with you, although I did see something and saying that this would be, could you imagine how well played this would be by the Giants if they weren't really interested in taking a quarterback to get one of the stud receivers.
But don't you get one of the stud receivers regardless?
Well, depending on who you think the stud receiver is. If you go 1 through 4 all quarterbacks, because Minnesota feels like they have to jump up now, 5, it could be, I saw Sims has...
Harrison?
No, he has Neighbors ahead of Harrison.
Ahead of Harrison.
But you could get one of those two now at 6.
Right. So here's how he has it playing out. Like you'd figure, Williams 1 to the Bears, Jaden Daniels 2 to Washington. Again, there's so much information. I was reading somebody, I forget who it was yesterday, said Jaden Daniels is not going to be a good pro. So, I mean, you don't know. Drake May, 3 to New England. Marvin Harrison, 4 to Arizona. Malik Neighbors, 5 to the Chargers, replacing the duo that they've lost. And the Giants would take Odunze at 6. There's a whole write-up on him, but I think we know he's an elite receiver and he's going to be a star in this league.
I'd take Odunze at 6 and then you find a way to get Penix? Reunite them?
I think I was looking at Connor Rogers yesterday that said... I think it was Neighbors at 6 and then move back into the first round with Baltimore at 30 and take Michael Penix. And then you have your receiver quarterback combination.
Well, that would be interesting. Listen, I mean, this is lying season too, though. You know, I mean, you know,
of
these
course.
Teams, good, well-run teams, aren't going to start making it known what they're really interested
in. Well, just the opposite of making it known. The good, well-run teams are going to make it impossible for you to know what their intent is.
You're going to go through the entire process. You're going to go, I mean, the interview, if you're the Giants, you're going to do, you know, all the interviews, all those certain things to make team, if you want the quarterback, great. Or if you don't want the quarterback, just make everyone feel like, you know, listen, we're off of Daniel Jones. We're done with him. And we're going to find his replacement. And then if you don't want that, you got a team like Minnesota jumps up. You go 4 quarterbacks, 1, 2, 3, 4. And now all of a sudden you get, you know,
the
one
second
of those
best receiver on the board.
Best receiver.
And Neighbors and Harrison and Odunze are all supposed to be.
Who could be your best receiver on your board.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Quite possible. Remember when I asked Mel last time we spoke to him, I said, in 5 years, which of these guys do you have the most confidence will be stars? And he said, any of those receivers. So that will be an option if you're the Giants. But I think I think that if you're a Giants fan, you'd be disappointed if they didn't address the quarterback situation.
Yeah, well, you can say that, but you can't. Okay, you can say that, but you can't say that for this reason, is that you've already told me that you trust whatever Brian Daboll and Joe Shade decide is right.
I do, but I'd like that to be the quarterback situation.
Well, you can't force it. If Drake May's the guy that they like, and all of a sudden, you know,
you can't
I read a report yesterday that Washington and New England have no interest in really trading
out.
So
right how
now.
Do you get out of this bad quarterback situation you're in if you can never get the next quarterback?
You guess you try to find a way. I mean,
but how?
I don't think Drew Locke's going to be that guy.
All right, so
get Michael Penix.
Do you believe
maybe?
It's not going to be Daniel Jones?
I believe it's not going to be Daniel Jones.
Do you believe it's not going to be Drew Locke?
No, I don't think it's
so. You don't
Locke.
Think the Giants have their future quarterback on the roster mm-hmm. right now? So how do you get if you let's just say for argument's sake you draft Odunze, you draft an offensive lineman, your third round pick, you take a quarterback. You're not going to look at that quarter. You take Spencer Rattler. You're not going to look at him and say, that's the future
no,
of the
Giants.
No, probably
not. But I think if you add enough talent around that kid, you've seen it work, especially if you got a guy that you feel comfortable grooming the quarterback and putting him in a good spot when he's ready. I think for me, that's always why this has been an attractive year to do this, is because Daniel Jones, you can move off of his deal.
Right.
He can play this season, and it also gives you this offseason and next offseason to put more talent around whatever the quarterback is. But you can't just make... The Giants aren't going to just take a quarterback to take a quarterback. That's the last thing you would
want. Which they should not do.
Right. So in this case, so if they don't think J.J. McCarthy is the guy, and it was Drake May, and they can't get Drake May, they can't just take J.J. McCarthy to appease the fan base.
You know, I think I've asked him this in the past. I don't remember what his answer is. Does Mel draft the way he would draft for these teams?
No.
Or does he draft what he believes the teams would do?
What he believes the teams will do.
So he believes... Raymond, what are you saying? What he's saying? Why is Ray like...
I don't know. He's chewing. I think he has some bagel in his mouth.
Again?
He drafts
no,
according.
I'm not.
He drafts according to what he thinks the teams will do.
Okay,
but he does not include draft. Like,
so he does not think
trades.
The Giants will take J.J. McCarthy.
That's what he's saying.
Right. I guess my question
well,
would
you
be
know
why?
That,
why?
Well, what you've heard?
No, I've heard that's his opinion. I've heard him say that he thinks that Daniel Jones is better than J.J. McCarthy.
So you think he's wrong?
Not at all. I don't think he's wrong. I'm just. It's curious to me that the Giants, because I think the Giants like J.J. McCarthy.
Well. Okay, but I don't think he does this mock where he's making phone calls around the NFL to try to get an idea of exactly what they like.
Fair.
In his mind, they're set at quarterback. They desperately need a wide receiver. Like, he's looking at what they need.
See, in my mind...
In his mind, they don't need a quarterback.
In my mind, they desperately need a quarterback.
They need a weapon for Daniel Jones. And they have the opportunity to do that at 6.
It's going to be interesting to see how this thing plays out. 7 is the Titans taking Joe Alt. 8, the Falcons taking linebacker Dallas Turner from Alabama. 9, the Bears taking Jared Verse from Florida State. 10, oh, you would lose your mind. Brock Bowers from Georgia, who is considered just a can't-miss tight end prospect.
Yeah, he's a stud. He's an absolute stud. You also have the opportunity at 10 there to take the second-best lineman, too, if you wanted to, offensive lineman.
Who, Fashanu?
Or whoever you thought the second best was. I mean, he's got Alt going 7, but that's the only offensive lineman off the board at that point.
Right. So he's got Fuaga. Is it Fatanu? Is that how you say the name?
Yeah.
Fatanu from Washington, Fuaga from Oregon State, and Fashanu from Penn State. All just sitting there.
Just sitting there.
Just sitting there waiting.
Just waiting. He's got Fuaga going to Cincinnati at 18.
Who did I say Cincinnati is interested in? An offensive lineman to replace Jonah Williams.
I actually think, too.
Trent Brown.
Trent Brown from the Patriots, yeah.
I actually think that I think he has Marvin Harrison Jr. as the third best receiver in this draft.
Chris Sims?
Yeah, I think he's got Neighbors 1. I think he's got Brian Thomas 2.
He has Thomas ahead of Odunze.
Yeah.
And Harrison?
Yep.
Wow.
I got to check again, but I'm pretty sure that was it.
But that's what you're going to get. You're going to get people that you think are good and you respect that are going to be all over the place, because this is a very inexact science. All right, we'll break. We'll come back. Rick's going to get us our breakfasts. And we'll do that. 1-800-919-3776. Then we got some CMT. We got your calls to get to. We got more NFL draft and more Knicks and some Yankees and Mets as well. It's DNR with you on 98.7 ESPN. Discover BetMGM, the sports betting app New Yorkers turn to for nonstop buzzer-beating action all season long. Take the hard-hitting excitement of March matchups to the next level with a lion's share of promotions and betting options, whether you're cheering courtside or from the comfort of your own couch, BetMGM keeps the adrenaline pumping with every single dunk, three-pointer, and buzzer beater. Join the excitement now with BetMGM. Plus, every time you make a wager, you earn BetMGM rewards points, which means what? It means you can turn the convenience of online betting into real-world rewards at one of MGM's signature resorts and more. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Download the BetMGM app today and enjoy March matchups like never before. See BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 plus years of age or older to wager and physically present in New York only. Gambling problem? Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go. This is going to be a good one. Let's go to Carol and Wayne. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Dave. Did you hear what I just told the guy about John?
No, I didn't hear what you told the guy about John. What did you tell the guy?
Yeah. John thinks he can do your job.
Right.
Let me tell you, you're on vacation next week. I won't even listen.
Oh, no. Come on, Carol. Carol, don't say that.
Carol. No.
Come on, Carol.
Dave, he is hilarious.
Hilarious.
He's going on vacation, so I'm going on vacation.
Well, okay, Carol, can I ask you a favor?
I got to tell you, I'm a huge, huge Giants fan.
Right.
And you talk about our boys. When I get in the car, I can't wait to listen to you. Like, seriously, I'm cracking up this morning when he said he could do your job, not even for 5 minutes. God bless you.
What are you wearing right now, Carol?
Stop it. Don't you dare do that to
Carol.
I'm
wearing my Rutgers. I'm an old lady. I'm going to be 68. Yes. God bless.
I'm sorry you have to deal with this kind of conversation.
I like
Carol,
a little experience.
I'm wearing my Rutgers alumni. I'm alumni from Rutgers in New Jersey.
We're familiar with Rutgers. Now, Carol, let me ask you a question, Carol.
Carol,
God's sakes, can I ask you a question?
Please. Go ahead, Dave, I'm sorry.
All right, it's okay. Can I ask you for a personal favor? Just from me to you?
No, go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Listen to the show next week. And here's what I'd like. Just listen. Here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to listen. And when I return, I'll actually be back next Friday. I'm not taking the whole week off. When I return next Friday, I'd like you to report back to me and tell me what you think of the show when I wasn't there.
I can never. Are you kidding? I can't even believe when the guy.
Yeah, but
answered,
Carol, Gross is a Rutgers guy.
Is this 98.7? He goes, yeah. I go, I really got through.
Isn't Gross
on
Rutgers?
You know how many times I've tried to talk to Dave? You can't believe it.
You want a cell phone number, Carol?
Yeah. I don't have my cell phone on me, but you can have the number if you'd like.
No. God bless you all.
God bless you.
You're all hilarious. But I really don't. I'm a retired Catholic social worker. So that's why I'm going to a client. I volunteer now. So you just make the mornings a lot more pleasant with all the stories I hear. So thank you.
Thank you.
Have a blessed day. And be safe on your vacation. Where are you going?
Florida.
Fat camp.
That's
God
nice.
God bless. Don't you get...
Yeah.
You know what?
You get him, Carol. Sick him.
Don't you talk about my days.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you.
I would mess with Carol.
But she loves me.
Yeah.
How about that? And
she'd
the guy that she's
date with
the
Sherry.
Phone?
He was, to RJ.
RJ, did you know that she was going to be such a spitfire when you spoke to her?
It's a little troubling that... You know, we try to welcome everyone in. We think of ourselves as a group. One of the first things she said, she goes, heard Dave's going on vacation, won't be listening.
Disparaging her fellow Rutgers guy.
Well, I don't even know that she knows who's filling in for me when I'm away next week.
I don't think she cares.
No, I don't think she cares. Exactly. Without me. But she thinks that, John thinks that he can do this job. RJ, what do you think? You're the producer of this fine show. I'm away. John sits in. How's the show go?
I think John would do well. I really do.
It's amazing.
Carol's probably in bed right now. Scantily dressed.
Okay.
Cigarette in one hand. ESPN radio. Yeah. Listening
picture
to your sexy voice.
On the app now that it's back functioning.
On the app.
Yeah.
Who knows what the other hand. I mean, this is wild.
How many hands does this woman have?
It's a lot.
She's got one hand with a cigarette, one hand on the app, and then other hands.
Why does she have her hand on the app? She doesn't need her hand on the app.
I don't know.
But she doesn't have to hold the app.
I don't know.
Although, who knows that app?
I don't know what she's doing. Maybe she has to hold it to a certain specification. 38 degrees north-northwest.
She was feisty.
Yeah, she didn't want anybody talking bad about her, Dave.
Maybe you should take her on a date with you and Sherry.
I don't really see that happening.
Be nice.
No. I'm not looking to go on dates with my wife and other women.
She just pledged her allegiance to you that she doesn't even
listen when
you're
done. And I like her as well. And I hope that she calls back and reports how the show was when I'm not here next week.
All right.
Until I'm back on Friday. And on that Friday, we make our big baseball predictions for the year.
Big baseball predictions.
Raymond, by the way, did you hear who he wants as his partner?
Who does he want as his partner?
Grassa.
Okay.
He doesn't want you.
No,
he doesn't
All right. Well,
that's what
you
said.
See, but you're the worst.
That's who he should want.
You're the worst.
Why?
You're the worst.
Why?
You're the absolute worst.
Why?
No, because it's like with the whole like Cassie's a floozy thing. I never said she was grinding on my lap. None of that.
It's how you say things. I believe, and RJ, you can go find it.
I believe you said
she stuck her tongue down my throat.
I said her tongue was in my mouth. I didn't say she was grinding on my lap.
No,
none of that.
I think I've added that for my own
pleasure.
Story is the grinding.
This is a story.
But I believe that you said tongue shoved down my throat.
No, did not say that. Is that Grassa?
Yeah.
What's wrong with this guy?
Very
confident. Big toe, yeehaw.
I got all week of this next. This is my next week.
You got 4 days.
Super.
All right, can we break and come back?
No, because now Raymond's got a bad taste in his mouth. Raymond, all I said is...
Don't feel bad about it.
All I said was we
he's
were talking
barely
about
awake.
How we're picking teams. I said, Raymond's got a lot going on right now. Maybe we just say, because he's not that into it, because Grass is on the show, we do the four of us and then pick teams that way. Or you could be involved with the team that has... You can pick your own team.
So you and Grassa against me and RJ, and then
Raymond's
Raymond,
a free agent.
He sees what picks he likes better, and he jumps on that team.
He could be on that team. He's like a free agent.
RJ, you know what I think could happen? I do truly believe that Rick and Grassa could have such diametrically opposed picks. It could be wonderful.
So you go think, for it.
You think he brings in Grassa?
I think he brings in Grassa, and there's a lot of infighting.
Wow.
And then I think there's a lot of blaming. I told you the Cardinals weren't going to do well in the Central.
So you think Grassa comes in and swings it. He's like, oh, I don't care how many.
I think Grassa walks in right on the table.
How about this? Me, Santi, Grassa, you, RJ, Winthrop.
No, but Winthrop is
a losing team has
a non-baseball
doesn't
fan.
Doesn't matter. Losing team.
But we don't need Winthrop. He doesn't bring anything
losing
to the
team
table.
Has to pay for dinner. Nice dinner. So that way you're split.
How about it's just me and RJ against the three of you guys?
Oh,
it's fine.
You want to play that game?
Yeah. I don't think we don't need it. Do we need a third, RJ?
I think we bring in Winthrop to go in against them and like it like a distraction. Like he's the deep route. He's the nine route that is not.
And I just hit you on a crossing.
Yeah,
batter.
He's not getting the football. Yeah. But maybe he goes into their huddle and just starts spouting off nonsense.
That's right. He gets into their heads.
Yeah, he goes in and be like, oh.
Or you know what he could be? He could be like the Max Patkin of our team, like the crown prince of baseball. Like the guy that just sits there and spins around a baseball bat on the side.
He's just going to be off looking for Kate Middleton anyway, so.
And RJ would be the guy with the little strike zone. Remember him?
Eddie Goodell?
Yeah, him.
He's not allowed to bat little people anymore.
Right. Well, that's what you got.
RJ, Eddie Goodell was like 3'4". He's comparing you to him.
Tell you what, though. When I do play, small strike zone. Man, that's just the way it works.
Well, that's what happened with Eddie Goodell.
Yeah.
One at bat, walked, never allowed again. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why?
Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Get up right now. Mel Kiper is on. Should the Giants move up from the sixth spot? You know what Mel's going to say.
He's going to say no.
Yeah. He still likes Daniel Jones. Mel might
Well, why would they move up? I mean, he's going to say no because he doesn't have him taking J.J. McCarthy.
Right.
Six.
But Mel is one of the few people that walks the planet that thinks the Giants should just stick it out with Daniel Jones.
Well, I think he's of the opinion that they have not done enough around him.
And I think
coaching
that
changes,
that's,
lack
I think
of talent.
That that's fair to
offensive
say.
Offensive line stinks.
But here's the thing. Daniel Jones, and I know it was for a very brief amount of time last season, he looked dreadful.
I did not look good.
He looked
second half.
Raiders,
Arizona,
he looked
really
awful.
Good.
Niners, he didn't look good. Like he gave you one good half for the time he was there, and that was the second half against Arizona, who might have been one of the worst defenses in football.
And now you got no Saquon.
And now you got no Saquon.
And you can say what you want. His numbers with Saquon as opposed to without Saquon are it's.
I think they'll be okay with Saquon without Saquon.
No, I think they'll be fine too. I think that's part of the problem just in general. Listen, having Saquon is huge for anybody, but when you have a guy that you're paying as much as you're paying Daniel Jones,
right.
He should not be dependent on what running
Correct.
Back you have.
But if you don't add another quarterback, you have to envision you're going to be adding an elite receiver, like Neighbors or Dunze, right? So it's either going to be there's not going to be as much pressure on Daniel Jones because you've added J.J. McCarthy and everyone's going to have the expectations for him, or you don't add the quarterback and now you add a legitimate weapon to help Daniel Jones.
Yeah, but there's still going to be pressure on Daniel Jones because of how his contract is structured.
I think there'll only be pressure on Daniel Jones if the Giants don't take a quarterback.
No, there's going to be pressure regardless.
But if you take J.J. McCarthy waiting in the wings or Drake May waiting in the wings, how much pressure is there going to be on Daniel Jones?
If either way, however you want to decide how much pressure is more, that his contract is, they can move off of his contract. If it was, hey, we'd like to draft, we're done with Daniel Jones, but we don't like J.J. McCarthy enough to take him with a sixth pick, it would have to be Drake May, but you can't get Drake May because right. He's gone to the top three. There's still a real possibility that you move off of Daniel Jones. And once you move off of Daniel Jones, where is he going? There's pressure there.
Let's see what happens with injuries. Quarterbacks are going to get hurt. Jones now available. Giants eat a bulk of the contract. You can move on from him after the season. Maybe there's a team that takes a flyer on Daniel Jones.
Maybe.
I don't think he's a bad quarterback.
No, I don't think so either, but he was the sixth overall pick here.
Right. He'll never live up to that.
So, there's pressure to stay healthy. There's a lot of pressure on this guy. It's New York. Coming off a bad season where he got hurt twice.
He's always hurt.
I get it, and that's why if I'm, Joe
Shane. Hamstring, it's the neck, again. He's always hurt.
Right, and that's why if I'm Joe Shane or Brian Daboll, I have a hard time, tying my future to Daniel Jones, knowing that there's a lack of availability. Like, it's not reliable enough for me. I'm not going to hitch my wagon to this because, there's a real chance that he's hurt or just not as good as I need him to be.
All right, so question for you, and we'll get to the calls in a second. 800-919-3776. Giants don't take a quarterback at six. Stay at six. Do you believe that they take a quarterback at back end of round one?
Yeah.
So there's no way the Giants get through this draft without that quarterback waiting in the wings to take over from Daniel Jones, in your mind?
Yeah, I think they're probably going to draft one.
Okay.
So,
Penix later, Bo Nix later, McCarthy at six.
Well, I ain't going to be Bo Nix later, according to this.
Where do they have Bo Nix on this
12.
Thing? Is Bo Nix at 12?
12.
That's crazy.
I read something that they think Penix is going to be a second-round pick yesterday.
But I don't think the Giants could get him, because what's their second-round pick, 49?
They probably have to move. They probably have to move up.
He's got a cannon of an arm, though.
Oh, he does.
I wonder what it is that teams don't like about him, though. Because apparently,
the history. Medicals look good, but still. He's been
banged up?
Been hurt a lot. The national championship game didn't do him any favors.
But the semifinal game, he was unbelievable.
He was great.
You imagine if at the end of the semifinal game, he's like, you know what, I'm good. I'm not going to play in this next game. There's no reason I need to.
No, I'll win a national championship.
Oh, I get it. Let's go to Ken in Connecticut. Hi, Kenny.
Hey, what's up, boys?
What's up, bud?
So, real quick. So, my main point is about Joe Torre. But on Fraggle Rock from yesterday, did anyone else root for the dog to ever grab one of the Fraggles and just tear him apart?
I got to be honest. I don't remember the intricacies of Fraggle Rock.
Yeah, I wasn't anti-Fraggle where I wanted the dog to get them, though.
You know what he's talking about? Yeah, I don't really. I remember it was an HBO show, but I don't remember the ins and outs of how Fraggle Rock took place, to be honest.
That's fair enough. I'm not sure many people do. But on to Joe Torre, just real quick. So I'm 41 years old. When I grew up, it was Stump Merrill, it was, Buck Showalter, and then Joe Torre. Joe Torre essentially raised me as a Yankees fan. And did I disagree with him over the years with bullpen decisions, A-Rod batting order in the lineup in the playoffs? Yes. But how awesome was that, just as a Yankees fan, yesterday, that moment, him just walking out, taking Rodon out. It makes you fully appreciate just the history and tradition that we have as Yankees fans. I know you guys aren't, but just
no.
Overall,
but we're not idiots, right? You look at the litany of tradition and history and all the things that go with being a Yankee. It's real special. You're 100% right.
No, it was just a nice moment. So even though it didn't amicably, at the end of it, it didn't go as well as it could have in terms of, saying goodbye. But, time kind of heals all wounds. And, you see Joe Torre now, and you harken back to, when we're in championships in 96, 98, 99, 2000. It's
right. Just, I think you know what it ends up being, though, too? And thanks for the phone call. I think a lot of the times we don't, especially here, maybe it's because we have,
so many teams,
is you don't take time a lot to enjoy what's actually happening in the moment. You know what I mean? It's always...
I never do.
Well, even with the Knicks stuff, it's like, a lot of people, and this was happening to us earlier in the season, where it's like, they're so worried about what's next. When are we getting the superstar? When are we going to win the championship?
That's just that's human nature, I think.
No, I know,
though.
But once you're through that and that person is gone, like the whole, like, is Eli elite? Now Eli's gone. It's like, we didn't realize how good we had it.
Yeah.
You see Joe Torre now and you realize, I mean, they haven't won a World Series since 2009.
Correct.
Haven't been back to the World Series. You're like, all that, you know, complaining I was doing about that team.
And they pushed Joe Torre out.
Right. I mean, that was, those were the good old days.
Those were the good old days. Well, you got to figure you're winning three World Series in a four-year span, and then you go to the World Series in 2001 as well. It's rare. You're probably not going to get something like that
again. It's too bad that we can't just take a step back and actually enjoy it while it's happening.
We can't. And I'll be honest with you, I'm as guilty as anybody. I cannot do it. Giants win great. At the end of a Giants game, my thoughts are, all right, what's coming up? Loss wrecks me. Win, what's coming up? What do we have? How can we go 3-1 in the next four games? I think I'm kind of broken when it comes to that.
But then when you get a chance to see, you name the player or coach or, you know, the team that you're talking about, you remember how good it was.
Of course.
And how much during the time that you enjoyed it. But I don't know, I think a lot of it too, it comes to expectations around here get so high.
Well,
so
will
fast.
We ever see another team like the 86 Mets? Probably not. Will you ever see a team like the Yankees in the late 90s? Probably not. Will you ever see a team like the Giants in 86 and 90? Probably not.
What, that Islanders team?
The Islanders, you'll never ever see that.
It was like that game we had when Al Arbor coached us. The coolest.
You'll never see that. I mean, they won four straight cups. See that again. No team will ever do that again. All right, we'll break. We'll come back. The Knicks, what we've got with them right now, pretty enticing. It's DNR with you, 98.7 ESPN.
And bacon,
Rick screaming about egg and cheese was on an open
microphone. I want to make sure he gets it.
No, I understand. And God forbid you get up and walk in there, interrupt my read. Can I now, please?
What is it? This better be the best read you've ever done in your life.
It probably won't be. Now that you interrupted, it took me out of my rhythm. Now a word from True Green. Are you ready to elevate your lawn game without breaking the bank? True Green has been the trusted choice for over 2 million homeowners for over 50 years. Visit TrueGreen.com today and discover the easiest and most affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn, completely guaranteed. Plus, enjoy True Green's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn for the best price. Visit TrueGreen.com and transform your lawn effortlessly. That's TrueGreen.com, your dream lawn. It's just around the corner.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.